And if you don't believe it, just listen to all the foreigners that have been here during the FIFA World Cup. They're all saying the same exact thing. Amen. So grab your Bibles, if you would. Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter number 1. When you get there, go ahead and stand with me. You open up to the middle of your Bible, you'll find Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, then Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 1. We're going to deal with some things here in this passage. It deals specifically with the country of Israel, but we're going to make some applications to the country of America this morning. Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter 1, we'll read a few verses here and get the context. Look at verse number 1. It says, "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah." So Isaiah was prophet during these four different kings' reign. That's what that means. Verse 2, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." So they are exposed. "Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city." Now focus on verse 9 here. It's not all negative. There's positivity. "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah." I'm going to preach a message to you this morning entitled, "America the Backslidden." America the Backslidden. The end of verse 4 says, "They are gone away backward." That word backward means they have backslidden, or they were backsliding. They were sliding backwards. So here we're going to preach America the Backslidden. And let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for what you do. We thank you for our country. Lord, with all the problems that America has, we are still the greatest nation in all the world. There's no doubt about that. Lord, I don't desire to be anywhere else in the world right now than here in America. And I thank you for all the amenities that you've given us. I thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. I thank you for all the freedoms that we have. But Lord, we know our country's in a mess. We know there's a lot of things that are going on in our society today that are going on in the flesh, and the devil's at work. And we know it's not what you have given us. It's not the reason that we are free. Not to go out and perform all the lewd acts of sinfulness that are being paraded around. Lord, we've been free so that we can worship you in liberty, so that we can be able to worship you in spirit and truth. Our country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles so that we can have a place where we can worship you freely, not so we can act as we will. I pray that you'd help us to see the need in our country, help us to see the problems as we're going to address it in Scripture, but also help us to see the hope as well. And I pray that you'd show us the truths this morning. We'll praise you and thank you for it. We ask these things in your name. Let me pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Here again, Isaiah has got a vision from the Lord, and he is speaking about the country of Israel, and he's speaking of the things that God has shown him, being a man of God, being the prophet to Israel. He's telling them what God has shown him about the corruption of the land, about the desolation of the land, about the destruction that's going to be coming to the land, and also about the future that's going to be happening here to all those that are there in Israel. But he also gives them hope there in verse number 9. But I understand the context is speaking of Israel, but we're going to make some application this morning here to America. You understand this passage wasn't written to America, and never once are you going to find anywhere in the 66 books of the Bible, you're never going to find the name America. America is not mentioned in the Bible, but we can make some comparisons and we can make some applications as well. We understand that we are a Christian nation, just like Israel was a Christian nation. We are a nation that's been set apart by God to do a work for God, just like Israel was a nation that was set apart by God to do a work for God as well. And so we understand the blessings that God has given our country. We understand the freedoms that God has given our country. But we cannot fail to recognize that our country has fallen into apostasy. Our country has fallen into a state today just like Israel had done in Isaiah's day. Israel had fallen away from the truth. Israel had fallen into apostasy. Israel had begun to do their own things. They had begun to follow false gods. They had begun to live their lives their ways rather than what God had saved them for. And here in America, we are seeing the same thing happen today. You can say it this way, and I heard this a lot growing up. You can say that America has gone to the dogs. It was not fit for consumption, and whatever was not fit for consumption had been thrown out for the animals to chew on. And so here we can say that America has gone to the dogs. Just by way of introduction before we get into the message, you can say that America today has gone to the dogs. And what dogs have we gone to? We've gone to the dogs of socialism and the dogs of laziness and the dogs of government dependency. You see, the Bible says that if a man doesn't work, he ought not eat. And too many people have been reliant on the government to provide all the things that they need in their lives rather than going out and doing the work that God had provided for them to do and doing the work that God had built for them to do and going and making something in their lives and providing for their family and for their homes. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, he ought not eat. A man that if he doesn't provide for his own household, he's worse than an infidel. It's what your Bible says. And we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can to provide for those that God has given us the responsibility of, those of us that are men in here, to provide for our families. But we need to understand also our country has been turned over to the dogs of socialism. The dogs of government dependency. Also, you can say our government and our nation has been turned over to the dogs of materialism. The Bible tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things that we had unto you. The Bible tells us to set our affection on things above and not on things of the earth. And there are too many times where we're living our lives for things and we're allowing things to control us and to rule us. There are those today that are not in church simply because of materialistic opportunities. They're allowing the materials, the things that they own, and the things that they enjoy, they're allowing those things to own them and control them in their lives. And we have the dogs of materialism. Listen, we are all guilty of it in our own ways, where we allow things to control us. And too many times we've allowed things to get into the way of us serving God the way that we should. I'm not against vacations. I'm not against holidays. I love holidays. I love vacations. My family, we just went on a vacation. But never once did we miss church in the time of having our vacation. We always made God a priority. And so you're going to go on vacation. Go spend time with your family. Have a good time. Go have a vacation. Do all those fun things. Enjoy the lake. Enjoy fishing. Do all those things. But make time for God and make time for church. Don't skip church for it. There's never a time where we are commanded to do that. God does not endorse that. We've given over our country to the dogs of materialism. We've given our country over to the dogs of worldliness and pleasures, Brother Nick. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2 to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He said, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Listen, we ought not be loving the things that this world has to offer, but rather we need to love the Word and the God of this world. This is Jesus Christ. Not Satan. See, the dogs of worldliness and the dogs of pleasure, too many times we've allowed worldliness and we've allowed our own sinful desires to control the decisions we make in our lives. But also our country's been given over to the dogs of sodomy and immorality. We just had a whole month, this past month, given over to pride and given over to those that are lifting themselves up as a god over our God. fulfilling the works of the flesh, doing that which is unseemly, the Bible says in Romans chapter number 1. Men giving them to men and women to women, and working that, the Bible says, which is unseemly. It's not normal. Amen. We understand that these things also destroyed the Roman Empire and many other empires throughout history. It destroyed Israel during this time, and we know that if it goes unchecked and uncorrected, it can and will destroy America as well. America was not given the opportunity to become a free country so that we can go out and live in lasciviousness and lewd debauchery. No, no. We were made into a free country so we can proclaim the truths of Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world. Now here, we're going to look at five truths here in this passage this morning in verses 1 to 9. Try to be a help to you this morning as we see how America correlates with every bit of this. First, I want you to notice, number one, we see in verse 1, the declaration. Notice here, it says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it lists the four kings that he was under the leadership of. Here, there is a vision of judgment that comes in Isaiah's days. You'll understand this morning, that God will always give His men, His prophets, His followers, God will always give His men a vision of things to come. In the Bible has a word for this, it's called prudence. The Bible says a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So you see, those that are prudent about the things that we see in this world, we understand that the world is acting the way that it is because it's filled with a bunch of lost people. And lost people are going to do what lost people do, and they're going to act sinful, and they're going to act ungodly. But we also understand there's an end result to the way that they're living their lives. The Bible says there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And we understand that just a little bit further down the road is death and destruction. And we can see the end and we can see what's going to happen because we know what the Word of God says. And that's called prudence. I'm not talking about an open vision this morning. I'm not talking about some prophecy that's been given to man. No, God's given us everything we need in the Bible. There's no open visions today. There are no open prophecies today. Everything that's been given to us in the Word of God is everything that we need to live this Christian life. But understand that God will show His man and His men as they lead their homes, as they lead the churches, as they do the work that God has called them to do. God will show us by way of prudence and by way of wisdom what the end result is going to be. There's going to be times, young people, where your parents are going to tell you not to do certain things and not to hang out with a certain crowd because they know the crowd. They know the end result of that activity. They know what's going to happen. Why? Because they've been there. They've done that. They got the t-shirt to prove it. They know what's going to happen there. They know where that crowd leads to. They may have been a part of that crowd before God saved their soul. The reality is, here we have a declaration. There's a vision of judgment that was going to happen in their day. But secondly, I want you to notice in verse number 2, we see the distress. We saw the declaration, now we see the distress. He says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken." He says, "I've nourished and brought up children, and they've rebelled against me." The Bible says in 3 John, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Well, listen, if we can have no greater joy than to hear that our children walk in truth, then the opposite would also be true, that we would have no greater broken heart than to hear that our children rebelled against everything we taught them. Are you listening? If you have no greater joy than to hear our children are walking in truth, then the opposite of I would have no greater broken heart, no greater defeat in my life than to hear that my children rebelled against everything I ever taught them. And here this is what God is referring to. Here God has nourished up the children of Israel. He had brought them up, yet they had rebelled against Him. You can say in this 250 years of us being a nation, God has brought us up through the dark times. God has brought us up through the battles. God has brought us up through seeming defeat into an opportunity to be a country to serve God. Yet we have generation after generation that have risen up and rebelled against Him. You see, a godly beginning here in the land of Israel ended in rebellion. And we see that same thing happen here in America. We have a godly foundation. We had a godly beginning. Our country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. Listen, our country was not found on religion. It was founded on the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our country was founded on the truths of the Word of God. If you take and you read your Constitution and you read the Declaration of Independence, you're going to find no less than 50 references of Scripture in there. No less. It is painted throughout our Constitution and throughout our Declaration of Independence. You even look throughout the Mayflower Compact when the Pilgrims and the Puritans and the Separatists began to land here. You'll find how they cried out to a heavenly God. How they cried out to God for leadership and for guidance and for protection in the new land. Because the whole purpose was to find a place where they can worship God freely. Away from tyranny. Away from governmental control. Away from the governmental restrictions of what we can and cannot do. By the way, our government tried to bring all that back during COVID. You remember that? They try to restrict the church and say, sorry, you couldn't meet. Sorry, you couldn't do this. Sorry, you couldn't do that. Well, the reality is it doesn't matter what the government says. Our God said we can. Amen. Amen. And our Constitution protects us from that. We have a First Amendment right that protects us in the freedom of religion. And we have a Second Amendment right that protects the First Amendment. Amen. Praise God there. They're trying to attack your Second Amendment so they can come back and get your First Amendment. Just so you know. Amen. Let me read you this. One of our founding fathers, Patrick Henry. Many of you may know who he is if you paid attention during history class. Patrick Henry said, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, people of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here. Nowhere else but here. Listen, you go to another country and you try to do in another country what you do in America and you see what happens. Amen. Amen. The reality is we've got great freedoms here. Patrick Henry also stood up and said in one of the Continental Congress meetings, he said, we must fight. I repeat it, sir, we must fight. An appeal to arms and to the God of hosts is all that is left us. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, he said, give me liberty or give me death. You see, we have a generation of people today who aren't fighting the same fight, Brother Brandon. And Patrick Henry was willing to fight. People today aren't saying, give me liberty or give me death. People today aren't saying that I'm willing to give up no matter what to have the liberty and the freedom that God has given me. No, no, they're saying, I'll give up whatever I need so that you can provide for me. That's what being raised in our country today. You take whatever you want, just give me, and make sure I'm taken care of. You see, we are raising a generation of folks for the last three generations of people who are willing to give up more and more of their freedoms to have more and more of what they think are liberties. But the reality is there are more and more chains and there are more and more restrictions in our lives. You see, our country was founded as a republic, and a republic is by the people, of the people, and for the people. And the responsibility is given from the people to the government, not from the government to the people. And the responsibility to lead our country, that's why we elect representatives to go and represent us. They represent our desires. When was the last time you heard about our congressmen and senators voting according to our personal desires? So many of them are so disconnected from their constituents, they have no idea what our desires are. They're living their lives up there in Washington, D.C., doing their own little thing and living their lives with their boosters and their clubs and being provided for by all these different foreign PACs and foreign entities are making decisions about the laws of our country rather than the constituents of our nation, which is you and me. Here we have the distress in the country of people that have rebelled against a holy God. We saw the declaration. We saw the distress. Thirdly, I want you to notice we're hastening. Verses 3 to 5, we see the darkness. Let's read these again. It says, the ox knoweth his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. Not only have they forsaken the Lord, notice what he says. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. There's a difference between forsaking somebody and provoking somebody. Provoking would be what we call poking the bear. I'm good at that when I like to irritate people. I'm good at poking the... Most of you know what I'm talking about. We're good at poking the bear. When you forsake somebody, you completely leave them. But when you provoke them, you come back to antagonize them. And this is what's happened here. They've left God, but now they are doing everything they can to provoke Him to anger, to antagonize, to poke the bear. They are gone away backward. Here, they're backslidden. They're taking several steps backwards rather than forward progress. Verse 5, why should ye be stricken any more? Will you revolt more and ye will revolt more and more? He said here, the chastisement can come, but all you're going to do is rebel because you have no heart for God. Amen. You see, that's what happens many times when somebody chastises somebody over and over and over again. What do? They just begin to rebel more and more. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You see, when you're often reproved and you don't want to listen to the reproof that has been given time and time again, what we do is we harden our neck. We build calluses up in our lives. But what's going to happen? We're going to ignore to the point to where we're going to do our own thing. And what's going to happen? Destruction's going to happen in our lives. He shall suddenly be destroyed. That means you're not going to see it coming. Other people saw it coming because they tried to warn you. But you're not going to see it coming because you're too busy looking into your own pleasures rather than looking ahead to see what's going to happen. Amen. Shall suddenly be destroyed. And notice the Bible says, and that without remedy. Ain't nobody going to be able to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Amen. That without remedy. There are times, Brother Nick, where people will wreck and ruin their lives and come back to church and expect the church to piece everything back together. And the reality is when you've been suddenly destroyed, nobody's going to be able to fix it other than God. It's going to take time. But just like we neglected and we rebelled against the reproof, we're not going to stick around for the patience either. And that's why he says that without remedy. Because we've already made our bed and now we're lying in it. Here we have... Thirdly, I want you to notice, we see the declaration, the distress. Now thirdly, the darkness. Here, they have forgotten God and they followed after wickedness. Here, notice the heathen nation was in anarchy against God. There's three aspects in these three verses. Here we have a heathen nation that is in anarchy against God. It says the ox knows his owner. The ass or the donkey knows his master. But Israel did not know who their God was. Israel did not consider the end of their goings. They did not recognize and realize the blessings they had in life came from an almighty God. Here they were a heathen nation given over to themselves. And verse 4 says, ah, sinful nation. You can imagine as the prophet is stating these truths. You can imagine how he would just hang his head. Ah, sinful nation. Just completely blown away by the fact that they could care less about the end result. You see, we have those that are in our country today that could care less about what's going to happen. They're out to get me and mine. They're out to live and enjoy and have their fun. They're going to live it up. And while it lasts, they're going to do what they want to do no matter what. And they could care less about the end result. Why do you think so many families are out there living so frivolously? People are involved in so many different aspects of worldliness. And we'll get to that here in a moment. Here we see the heathen nation was in anarchy against God. But verse 5, I want you to notice here, the head is sick. Notice at the end of verse 5, it says the whole head is sick. The head would be the governing part of the nation. Here would be the king of Israel at that time. And it would be his cabinet and those that were following after him. Here the king, the head, was sick. He was making some perverse actions. He was following after false gods. Here, and by way of application, we can say in America that our head, our governing part of our country, is sick. Our government is sick. Whether it's this president or a previous president, doesn't matter. Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter. Our presidents are sick when they're not pursuing the things of God. when they're pursuing the things of man and the things of this world rather than pursuing the things of God. You can say it this way, that our nation has lost its ever-loving mind. He says, didn't happen overnight. This was a process. Let's go back many years. In 1833, our country legalized liquor. In 1833. That was before the Civil War. Then they criminalized it, and then they re-legalized it. You remember that? The 18th Amendment was the prohibition. Then the 21st Amendment repealed the 18th Amendment. Why did they repeal the prohibition? Because they found out that bootleggers and everybody else was still making money on it, and the government wanted in on that. And they wanted a way to make money too. So they put all these regulations, and they said that you had to sign for this, and you had to do this, you had to do that. Now you have to have a license. You have to have all these different qualifications. Why? Because the government's going to find a way to tax it. By the way, that's what the first revolt was about. Amen. Too many taxes. Here, legalized liquor in 1833. You say, well, that wasn't a big deal. Okay, well, let me tell you what's legal today. Marijuana is legal today. You understand, in the state of Oregon and Washington, crack cocaine is legal today. It's no longer a felony. It's been legalized in certain areas. Heroin is legal today. You remember the last administration? They wanted to give out free needles to everybody? Because if you're going to do drugs, at least do it in a clean manner. At least use a clean needle. That was the philosophy. How far has our country gone? This is the reality. Well, if you're going to go sin, let's at least provide a way for you to do it in a safe manner. Really? Where in God's name do we think that is even approved in the Word of God?
Nowhere.
Nowhere. Here, they wanted to pass out clean needles so people can take drugs safely. Again, this didn't happen overnight. It started with one little thing. And it led to many, many more. In 1963, the Supreme Court voted to remove Bible and prayer from public schools. And our nation's gone down ever since. By the way, they removed the Word of God from public schools. They began to teach evolution. They removed faith in God. They wanted to define it as a religion to teach another religion that taught everything that was anti-God. By the way, you teach our kids that they're a bunch of animals. What are they going to do when they grow up? They're going to act like a bunch of animals. Amen. You leave them in a cage and treat them like they're animals and teach them that they come from animals. They're going to go out into the world when they get out of their cages and they're going to act like animals out in the streets. That's exactly what we've seen happen. In 1975, the Supreme Court legalized abortion. And since 1975, do you realize there's been over 45 million abortions in America? The leading cause of death in America today, if you want to take statistics, is abortion. You don't hear that on the news, do you? It's the guns! No, it's the doctors. It's the mothers. It's the fathers that don't want to step in and be a father. The leading cause of death in America, by statistics, is abortion. There was a pagan who said this. His name was Cicero. He said, a nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and he carries his banners openly. But the traitor moves among those within the gates freely. His sly whispers rustling through the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears to be no traitor. He speaks in the accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face and their garments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He robs the world of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to determine the pillars of a city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to be feared. traitors. By the way, for those of you that have been following things in our news, we've had a couple of states that have reinstituted the firing squad for traitors. Amen. Why? Because a bullet's cheaper than a lethal injection. Amen. Praise God. Here, we have a nation today that has traitors all throughout our country. You talk to any of the patriots, those that have fought and given their lives, and we have several of them in here, veterans that have given so much and are battling with health even today. They didn't fight. They didn't lose brothers and sisters on the field just to have traitors, just to come back to a country that has traitors running our country. Amen. Are you listening? This is a reality. You have those that will do enough just to get by until they get elected into office, and then their true selves come out. Amen. By the way, our country was founded, again, I said it time and time again, on Judeo-Christian principles. Our country was founded to be run by Christians, not to be run by foreign entities. Amen. Our country was founded to be run by Christians, not to be run by pagans. Amen. In our land. Amen. I believe inside of me, just like I believe that there ought to be a bunch of Christian young people that surrender their lives to the Lord and do what God has called them to do, I believe that God could be raising up a bunch of young people as they surrender their lives to the Lord to become the next congressmen and senators in our nation to lead this nation. Listen, I believe we need more Christians involved in politics.
Amen.
Amen. Here, our head is sick, just like Israel's was. The whole head is sick. But also, notice what it says, and the whole heart faint. Here we have a heathen nation that's in anarchy against God. Here we have the head that is sick. But here we have the heart that is faint. You say, well, what's the heartbeat of America? I'll define it. It's the church. The government is the head, and the church is the heartbeat. Because so goes the church, so goes the nation. You see, so goes the family, so goes the church, then so goes the nation. Because that's the entities that God's created. Here, when the heart stops beating, the body is dead. And many churches and many Christians today have grown lukewarm and indifferent to the things of God. Many churches have stopped praying. They don't genuinely love their community. They have no power when they preach the Word of God. They don't even preach from the Word of God. They don't have any salvations. They don't have any baptisms. Christians aren't sacrificially giving to reach the world with the gospel. There's no growth whatsoever in the church. And then there's no standards to be practiced. Because they don't have the standard that they should be lifting up, which is the Word of God. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 62, verse number 10, that we ought to lift up a standard for the people. Listen, there is a standard that we ought to follow, and that standard is the Word of God today. That is the banner that we unite under. Just like we unite under that banner right there, the standard of America is the American flag. We unite as Christians under the banner of the Word of God. We understand that. But today the heart is faint. Today, churches have gotten weary. Today, churches don't proclaim the truth of the Word of God. It's few and far between. Even when you go out and you travel and you go on vacation, there are few churches that preach the Word of God anymore. I'm not saying it's obsolete. There are many that are out there. But they're coming few and far between. I thank God for the church camp that we go to that has a group of churches that come together and still preach the old time way. I thank God for the men's conference that we go to where men of God can get together and still preach the Word of God. I thank God for the ladies' conference our ladies go to and the youth conference our teenagers go to. And listen, we can gather with other churches of like faith that still believe the truth of the Word of God, that still hold to the banner. But understand, the heart's getting weary. The heart's getting faint. And the nation's falling apart because the churches are falling apart. You watch it and you'll see it time and time again. As the church gets more relaxed, the nation often gets more relaxed as well. As the church begins to overlook sin, then the nation begins to practice more openly the sins of the flesh. as a church won't preach against the sins of this world, the nation will then begin to practice the sins of this world. You see, because what doesn't get preached from this pulpit will get practiced in the pews. Because we got to preach the Word of God and tell God's people the error of our ways. Here, this is the darkness in the land that we live. Next, I want you to notice, fourthly, we're hastening. Next, we notice the decay and the destruction. Verses 6 through 8. The decay and the destruction. Notice verse 6, it says, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. There's nothing that breathes life. There's decay. There's destruction. But notice it says, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. People are not even trying to treat the open wounds that are happening in the lives of these people and in the lives of the nation. You could say it this way. People are out living in sin. They are wounded. They have bruises. They have putrefying sores. They're living in a life of sin, and they're not closing it up. They're not binding it up. They're not trying to hide their sin anywhere. Amen. Neither have they mollified it with ointment. That simply means that they're not even trying to treat the problem anymore. Amen. But rather, they're just living out in the open. Well, this is the way it is, and this is the way it's going to be. And we just got to deal with it. Listen, we don't have to just deal with it, bless God. We're going to preach the Word of God. Go out there and tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Try to win more people to Jesus Christ and let God change their lives. Just like God changed our life. Amen. Here they can be mollified with ointment. It says, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. You understand our land's been overtaken by strangers. Now listen, I'm not against immigration when it's done correctly. Our nation's a land of immigrants. But immigrants that have followed a process to become legal citizens. Amen. You believe what you want to. I like what one preacher said when it came to Tom Homan taking and shipping out all these illegal immigrants. He said, I hope they ship out so many immigrants that I never have to click 2 for English again on a phone call. I like it. English is the national language of America. Praise God. We are a land of immigrants. Listen, again, people say, well, the president doesn't like immigrants. The president's married to an immigrant, people. People don't use their brain. He likes immigrants just as much as anybody else. Both of his wives have been immigrants. Just saying, he likes immigrants too. Everyone loves immigrants when it's done the right way. Amen. When you follow the process. By the way, you talk to immigrants that are here and have gone through the process of becoming legal citizens, they'll tell you they're against the illegals coming over the way they've come over in droves. They'll even say the same thing. I remember there have been many times where my wife and I have seen on the news, whether it was the 6 o'clock news or 10 o'clock news, they have it in Tulsa where they'll have a session of people that have become legalized citizens. And they'll show a video clip of them going through the process of pledging themselves to become an American citizen. Because they've been vetted. They've gone through the steps. And it's a joyous thing to watch. But here, this nation was devoured by strangers. It was desolate and overthrown by strangers. And the Bible says the children of Zion are left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. I mean, you're left with nothing. Here we see the decay and the wounds. Let me explain these to you. It's the decay and the destruction are wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. Here our country has been defined by those who literally are the minority. It's amazing to me how the minority gets the loudest voice in a crowd. And here the minority today are those who would be those of the homosexuality and the sodomite crowds. And we have a whole month that's been given over to them and a whole month that's been dedicated to them going out and living in their debauchery and their lewdness, parading it around in front of children, thinking that that's okay. Listen, that is not okay. That is nothing more than child abuse. Amen. to expose our children to that kind of lifestyle. And we see it everywhere. We see it on the television. You see it in the shows that you watch. It's hard to find a television show that you can watch today that's not got a gay actor on there. Or a gay actress on there. One of the main stars of the show is going to be a queer. It's almost guaranteed today. Here, we see it time and time again. We see the wounds and the bruises and the putrefying sores of illicit sex and fornication and shacking up here in our society today. Where people go out and they live in the flesh and they do what they want to do. Brother and Miss Thoreau were traveling here recently. When they retired, we sent them on a 2-month trip around America. They went over to California. When they came back through California, they stopped and went to some different places on I-40. And they swung up to Las Vegas and they saw during the daytime, they saw some of the different things that the progress of the land. Brother Thoreau had been there many a times as a kid because his dad was in the Air Force and they had, were stationed outside of there. They were getting out of town as the sun was going down. And both of them have shared with me that while they're leaving, there were literally people that were full on naked in the streets. Without a care in the world. They're just living their lives, doing their thing. Prostitutes had been doing their jobs. And they were getting dressed after the deeds. Out in public. This is the world we're living in right now. Homelessness has taken over in many of our larger cities. And you have open lewdness and debauchery that takes place in the subways and on the street corners. There was here recently, I believe it was 2 years ago, it was when President Biden was going to California. He had gone through San Francisco and they had gone through this whole process of cleaning the streets up. Because they didn't want the television cameras to see how bad it really was. The amount of feces they had to clean off the streets because they just went out in public like an animal because they didn't have no respect for life. Was appalling. This is happening in our country. I'm not talking about a third world country. I'm talking about America, the greatest country in the world right now. This is where we've been. Here you have people living in a life of sin. You understand today that pornography is destroying our homes and our marriages. A recent statistic, as recent as last week, okay? The number one addiction in the world is online pornography. That's the number one addiction in the world. It's also the number one addiction in America, because guess what? America's in the world. You know what the number two addiction in America is? Online gambling. Mainly through the sports betting apps. Here we have two things that are destroying, wrecking, and ruining our country. You have children today who have smartphones. They have more access to things today than ever before. Let me go ahead and say this to you parents. You do what you want to do. But if you give your child a phone, your child should not have a passcode to anything that you don't have. Amen. There should not be a password on a phone that you don't know. And there should be regular checkups that you do. Spontaneously. Amen. Because you are the parent. And even if you trust your kid, I don't. Amen. Anyway. It's called accountability. Yes, sir. We have things that are destroying our homes. Children are being exposed to things more now today than ever before. I was talking with a preacher friend of mine just here recently, and he said that there was a bid in their state to push and promote frontal nudity on primetime television. Not the pay-for channels, primetime television. This was a bid they were, their state was pursuing. Why? Is my question. You know why? Because God's people are not speaking up. Because the heart has grown weary. The heart has begun to faint. Because the church has been silent for far too long about the sins of this world. And so sin has run rampant. Today we have unisex bathrooms because people don't know how to identify. It's too contentious to put a male figure on the bathroom door. It's too contentious to put a female figure on the bathroom door. I was talking to a guy at Taco Bell 3 weeks ago. I don't even remember what Taco Bell I was in. My wife was there. It was Taco Bell. So it's, all Taco Bells are the same. They're nasty. But they are what they are. I was at a Taco Bell 3 weeks ago. And a guy comes out of the bathroom. He said, I've never been confused about my gender until I walked in there. And now it says both boy and girls on the, a picture on the door. I don't know what to do. He said, I was never confused before, but now evidently I am. This guy wasn't a churchgoer. He was just making a general comment. Because even the world thinks this is insane. You understand that the Women Lives movement, setting up to be their own authority rather than allowing the authority that God had given in their lives, has begun to destroy our homes and our families. Understand? The Bible says that God created Adam first. And then he put Adam to sleep and created a woman. And he brought the woman to Adam, right? So in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, not even Gertrude. Okay? He created Adam and Eve. One man and one woman. You say, but in the Old Testament, they had multiple wives. Just because they did it doesn't mean God condones it. Amen. The Bible is a record of history as well as the record of truth. Just because it's listed in there doesn't mean that God was allowing it. Judgment still came in their lives. Issues still happened in their homes because of it. But understand today that when the woman was created, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 that her desire would be toward her husband. It is natural for a woman to want to follow the leadership of the man that is in her life. Whether that man is her husband, if she's not married, that man is her father. If she's not married, she's out of the house, that man is the man of God that God has put in her life, whatever that man is. Her desire is toward that. And that's a reality in the Bible. I'm not against women. Not at all. But the Bible says that women ought not usurp authority over a man. Amen. I don't believe that's just in the church house. I believe that's in the political house as well. Amen. You take that for what you will. My opinion. We have here not only of the wounds, the Bible says, and the bruises and the putrefying sores. We could say that some more of those wounds and some more of those bruises, those putrefying sores in our country would be some music that's been allowed in our land. The rock and the hip-hop and the country and the rap and the contemporary Christian music and all the things that are drawing God's people away from the law of God. We have our ungodly TV shows. We have lawlessness or riots, the burning down of cities and police vehicles. To the life of me, I will never understand, Brother Nick, why when a team wins the finals or a championship or whatever, the fans, Brother Brad, will go and burn the city down. How are you showing joy and appreciation to your club by burning your city to the ground? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. What's the next thing I was going to say? The foreigners come in and got more respect for our land than our own people do. They clean up after themselves. Here, we have lawlessness in our land. Here we have false religions that are taking over seats of authority in this land. There is no reason at all a Muslim should be running anything Amen. In the land of America. Amen. There's no reason that a Muslim should be the mayor of New York. Amen. There's no reason that a Muslim ought to be in Congress or in the Senate in America making decisions about a land that was dedicated to God when it was created. Amen. A land that was built on Bible principles. Yeah. They don't even believe the Bible. Patrick Henry, I'll quote him again. He said a lot of good things. He said, bad men cannot make good citizens. It is impossible that a nation of infidels or idolaters should be a nation of free men. It is when a people forget God that tyrants forge their chains. A vitiated state of morals, a corrupted public conscience, are incompatible with freedom. You cannot have freedom and a corrupted sense of morals and values. Because the freedom that we were given, listen, was not a freedom from the Bible, but a freedom of the Bible. Our nation was founded to be a free land, not to do everything that you want to do, but to do everything you ought to do. That's what our country was founded on. Here, we've seen the declaration, the distress, the darkness, the decay, and the destruction. Lastly now, the deliverance. There's hope. You paid attention well. We're almost done. Verse 9. Here we see the deliverance. The deliverance is found in God's remnant. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. You understand why God hasn't destroyed our country yet? It's because of God's people. Amen. God hasn't destroyed America yet. Because of her lewdness, her debauchery, her sin, the lascivious lifestyle that she's living. God has not destroyed our country yet because of the Christians of this nation. Amen. The remnant that has been left. Uh-huh. You see, Isaiah says here, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a remnant, we would have been destroyed. Were it not for God's people being faithful to the house of God, being faithful to the work of God, being faithful reaching people for the glory of God, then God would have destroyed our country a long time ago. And you understand, were it not for Christians somewhere in our country, even here in our church today, Christians that pray for our country, Christians who pray for our leaders, we believe the Word of God, and the Word of God says to pray for our leaders. Christians who go out and try to reach their fellow man. Christians who give sacrificially to the church and try to do the things that God has called us to do. If it were not for Christians, then God would have destroyed our nation a long time ago. That's the only reason our nation is still here. It said we would have been at Sodom and Gomorrah. You say, well, how was Sodom and Gomorrah? Sodom and Gomorrah was so bad that not even the Christian who God calls a righteous man, Lot, Hebrews 11, he's called a righteous man. Not even the Christian Lot could save his family. By Scripture's account, Abraham had taught God all the way down to finding 50 righteous, all the way down to finding 10 righteous people in the land. He said, if I just find 10 righteous people, will you spare the land? God said, I'll spare it for 10. You know how many he found? One. His name was Lot. You say, well, why did Abraham then stop at 10? Because Lot had 10 family members. You had Lot and his wife. You had his two daughters that were virgins. They got him drunk and had children through an incestuous relationship with their dad. You have his other two daughters, because the Bible says daughters, plural. And their husbands, sons-in-law, and sons, two sons. That's 10 people. That's listed in Genesis 18 and 19 in the family of Lot. So why did Abraham stop at 10? Because he thought for sure, Brother Nick, that Lot saved had salvaged his whole family. Surely he had taught them the Word of God. Surely they had trusted Christ. No, they didn't. So what did God do? God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities. Why? Because he couldn't find some righteous people. You know what God did back at Noah's day? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God saved Noah and his three sons and their wives. He saved 8 people on a boat and killed the rest of the world. Why? Because of their lewdness and debauchery. Because of their sinfulness, their wickedness. The Bible says God saw the wickedness of the people. Listen, I'm not one of those preachers going to stand up and tell you that God needs to apologize to anybody, because God doesn't.
Amen.
He's God. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that God made a mistake and God should have come a long time ago. Listen, God's going to come whenever God comes.
Amen.
The reality is this. We are not as bad today as Noah's day or as Sodom and Gomorrah. I know some people may not like that. But God hadn't destroyed America yet. He salvaged us. Why? Because there's still hope. Because there's still a remnant. There's still a remnant praying for revival. There's still a remnant that's ready to repent from the things that they've been doing. By the way, why do you think we have an invitation time and an altar call? So that we can repent and get right with God. So that revival can come into our lives. You see, when God's remnant stops repenting and stops getting revived, then destruction will come. Because then there will be no people standing up for right. Are you listening? But here, God salvaged the land because of a remnant. Here, let me give you another quote. There's an unknown American immigrant. I don't know who said this. He said this statement. Listen to this, man. This will get you going. Next to God, the most sacred word in all the world to me is America. When I hear that word, something begins singing in my heart, and sometimes the tears come into my eyes. I'm not ashamed of those tears, for that one word, America, is enshrined all of my love, my dreams, my hopes, my faith in a future when not only I, but all men shall be free. Who would not fight and if need be die for this blessed land of ours? And then he says this, long live America, an unknown immigrant. Here, we just celebrated 250 years. We're 250 years strong. I say we as a church, we need to say we're tired of losing ground. We've given up enough to the world. Our veterans have given their lives for enough of it to be thrown back at them. We've given up enough. It's time that we stand fast and we stand firm and we stand in the faith of the Word of God. And we do what God's called us to do. Here we have the deliverance. How is this land going to be delivered? By a remnant. A remnant that seeks after revival and a remnant that seeks after repentance. So we this morning, I'm going to ask you as children of God, we need to repent. We need to get right with God. We need to pray for our country more now than ever before. We need to beg God to use us greater now than ever before. Listen, Jesus Christ can come back at any moment in time. He can come back at any time He chooses to. The reality is, I wonder if He's just waiting for somebody to get saved. And I wonder if that somebody could be somebody that we lead to the Lord. Stand with me with heads bowed, with eyes closed this morning. We saw a lot of negativity, but we're going to end it with the deliverance. There may be a lot of negativity in your life. There may be a lot of negativity in our land. But the reality is God is the deliverer. If you've lived your life far too long without Jesus Christ involved in it, and if you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you can get saved this morning. You can come to an old-fashioned altar and trust Christ as your personal Savior, just like many of us in here have. With heads bowed, with eyes closed this morning, I just got one question for you. How many of you say, Brother Terry, somewhere in that message, God spoke to my heart. Would you raise your hand? Somewhere in that message, we have hands all over the room. You put them down. God bless you for it. If God spoke to your heart, let's come to an altar and let's deal with what God's dealt with us about. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you.